Sri Lanka, the magical island. On his last trip to Sri Lanka, in the Indian Ocean, our reporter was enchanted by its rich history and varied landscapes. He describes the island's many charms.
Some years ago, I met a man who accidentally found a lost city in a jungle. He said there were temples, palaces and pools, all covered in the roots of the fig and banyan trees. The lost city is on Sri Lanka, a teardrop-shaped island off the southeast tip of India. If, even today, that lost city is still waiting to be excavated, it's for two reasons. Firstly, Sri Lanka is not a rich country. And secondly, it has a lot of archaeological sites. Just last year, arrows and bead jewellery from about 48,000 years ago were found in a cave. Between the time of those early settlers and colonization by the British in 1815, great kingdoms and cities came and went, leaving beautiful ruins and monumental Buddhist sculptures all around the island. Most tourists just come for the beaches. It's not surprising, because if a beach is what you want, you can't find much better than these. White sands, monkeys playing in the coconut trees, clear coral reefs where you swim with giant turtles, people cooking fresh fish and carrying trays of exotic fruit for sale. What's not to like? But it's when you leave the coast that the island becomes fascinating and rich with cultural history. Over time, the island has been known by many names. Sri Lanka is only what it's been called since gaining independence in 1948. Before that, it had a name familiar to millions of tea drinkers, Ceylon. The island's green hills are still covered by vast plantations of the tea bush, its leaves delicately picked by an army of Sri Lankan women. Earlier still, the island was known by a name derived from Arabic, Serendip. This name inspired the English word serendipity, meaning a fortuitous chance, such as accidentally finding a lost city in the jungle. But it's not just because of its many names that Sri Lanka is unusual. This island of 21 million people is like a microcosm of the entire world. Buddhism, Hinduism, Christianity, and Islam are all represented here, and generally with less of the tension that can develop in other places. Sri Lanka is unusual in other ways too. For instance, it is smaller than Ireland, but has two weather systems. So when it is monsoon season on one side of the island, it is dry season on the other. Similarly, the geography and environment seem to change every 50 kilometers, sometimes so dramatically that it feels as if there are several different countries in one place. Just inland from the tourist beaches, there are mangrove swamps with islands covered in cinnamon trees. For centuries, Sri Lanka was known to world traders as the Spice Island. Pepper, nutmeg, cloves, vanilla, cardamom, the entire kitchen of exotic ingredients grows here. Go further inland, and you might find yourself crossing a white salt plain, or a rainforest with elephants and giant fruit bats. Elephants are everywhere, in fact. In the wild, in the festivals of the cultural capital, Kandy, and they're used in forestry work. They're sculpted on the temples and palaces all around the island. And the islander's favorite Hindu deity is the elephant god Ganesha. Travel east and you find yourself in the dry forests lived in by direct descendants of the island's Paleolithic inhabitants, the Veda, who still follow a hunter-gatherer way of life. Everywhere you look, history and geography seem to be condensed on Sri Lanka. As you climb, the climate becomes more temperate, and you cross hillsides marked with terraced rice paddies. Continue going up, and you enter the region of tea plantations, before arriving at the alpine atmosphere of Nuwara Eliya at more than 1,800 meters altitude. A town originally popularized by the British as a place to escape the tropical heat, parts of Nuwara Eliya still look like an English village. Fortunately, it seems that the colonial era has left a generally positive legacy in people's minds. English is widely spoken. People were all welcoming when they heard where I was from, and some happily described themselves as having English jobs. One such man with an English job even let me drive his train engine. There are warm people, and Sri Lanka has none of the stress and huge crowds of neighbouring India. Up this high on the island, there is a place known as World's End. It's a cliff that looks over a 1,200-meter drop. But to truly understand how World's End got its name, you have to be there on the right day, when the meteorological conditions are just perfect. On those days, the clouds sit below you as you stand on the edge, and the world seems literally to come to an end here. Whether or not you get to see that is a question of chance. May serendipity be with you.